Okay. So today's Maimer was recited by the Rebbe on Shabbos Parshas Matas Masei, Mevorchem Achedish Menachemov. The year was Tavshim Mem Zayin, or the equivalent of 1987. In the Parsha, it says, Hicholtzel Mi'itchem, that you should separate from amongst you, or designate from amongst you, Anoshim L'tzava, men who will go to war. The Yiyu Al Midyan, they will be against Midyan, Losseis Nikmas Hashem, to exact the vengeance of God against Midian for having caused the Jewish people to cause in that debilitating way. Elef Lamata, 1,000 for every one of the tribes. And according to most opinions, it actually is literal, means 1,000 troops for every one of the tribes. 12,000 soldiers in total, according to most opinions. V'yadua hadrush al zebelakuta teira parshasenu. There is a famous maimer about this. It's found in Lakuta Teira of the Altar of Zemarim, on our Parsha, which we call euphemistically the Hasidic Parsha, and as well as it's found in many Madrushim, Hasidic homilies that follow until the Drush HaYadua, the very widely known Maimer Heicholtzu, which was recited by the Rebbe Rashab. Sheshayach L'zman HaZeh Bechlal, which is connected to this time of the year, generally speaking, besides the fact that it's a verse, it's a pasuk in Parshas HaShavua. So the essence of the Maimer is about the opposite of Avos Yisrael. That's what Midyan represents. Midyan represents Madon U'Meriva, as we'll soon hear in a moment, the idea of divisiveness, and that we're doing battle against divisiveness, battle against the opposite of Avos Yisrael, which is connected to this time of the year, because we lost the Beis HaMikdash due to Sinat Chinam, unwarranted wanton hatred. And so how do we restore the Beis HaMikdash? How do we undo the sadness? Avat Chinam. Unwarranted and wanton love for each other. So over there, he's medayik a number of different things about Heicholtzu Mi'itchem, and I'm not going to go through his diyukim because we're not going to have a chance to answer it today. So I'm going to skip now a little. Okay, and I'm going to skip to Tzarech Lahavin, the bottom of the first paragraph. We have to understand Mashal Melchemes Midyan Hoisa Ayadei Moshe Dafka. We have to understand why is it that this war needed to be prosecuted by Moshe. So much so, and so much so that Moshe Rabbeinu literally was ready and expended his very life for the prosecution of these battles. As it says in the Medrash, and this is brought in the Maimarim, that even though Moshe knew very well, that after the battle against Midian, Yosef Alam of Moshe Rabbeinu moves into the next phase of reality, his soul will be gathered on to his people, so to speak, which means the body and soul separate. And Moshe Rabbeinu's terrestrial life comes to an end, and Moshe Rabbeinu moves into Chai HaChaim, eternal life. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama remains here in this world, nonetheless, there is a physical passing. And that wasn't something Moshe Rabbeinu was joyous about. Nonetheless, Lo Yisakev, he did not delay. He did not restrain himself and say, you know what, if this battle is the last thing I have to do, let me push it off. You know, there's a famous story that the three people were captured and they gave him a last wish. So one guy said he wants chocolate. Gave him chocolate and boom, he was finished. Then they said, what do you want? He said, he wants a marble cake. Marble cake, boom. And the Jewish guy came along and said he wants cherries. He says, but cherries are out of season. He says, no, wait. Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, you know, I understand. Ribbono Shel Olam, Almighty God, you want me to do this war? We'll do it. You know, like, what's the rush? After all, this war is the last phase. No, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't stop. This is what Hashem wants. He goes full throttle, with zrizus, with full alacrity. So that's like an act of Mesiras Nefesh. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu took this battle very seriously, and the battle is connected to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's got to be prosecuted by Moshe Rabbeinu. And the question is why? What does Moshe Rabbeinu have to do with war? When you think of Moshe, many things come to mind. I very much doubt that war is one of them. Probably when you think of David, about war comes to mind. Maybe when you think of Joshua, war comes to mind. He's the one who leads most of his leadership. He leads us for 28 years. A good portion of that was involved in conquest. But when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't know him as a warrior per se. When Amalek attacked, he sent Yehoshua. He wasn't involved. Truth be told, now Pinchas goes and leads the actual battle, but Moshe Rabbeinu has to be somehow linked to this battle. How is it that Moshe, the teacher of Torah, has to be linked to a war and to a battle? And this question we will hopefully answer in the next couple of minutes. So the basic explanation that's found in the Hasidic discourses is that the teichen inyan melchemes Midyan, that the content, the meaning behind the battle against Midyan, is hachnoas klipas Midyan. It's the subduing, the subjugation, in a certain way, perhaps even the crushing of the melchama, of the klipa, of the negative energy which is called Midyan. The Midyan inyanay modin umeriva. Midyan, the idea, what Midyan is emblematic of, the concept of modin, the concept of infighting, divisiveness, meriva, quarreling. Modin and meriva are Hebrew words that describe a state of quarrelsomeness. So the klipa of Midyan, the negative energy that Midyan represents, is the idea of endless fighting, quarreling, divisiveness. Melchemes Midyan, the battle, proverbially speaking, against Midyan then, in Yonahu, its idea is Hatikun shel inyan hamodin v'meriva, that we're trying to fix divisiveness and quarreling. The Hainu, that is to say, Shalom v'achdos, peace and unity. Va'ad, so much no. So much so, shahachno, that the reining in and the restraint of this klipa is not, as I use the word crushing, but that's wrong, because it's ba'ifin de ishapcha chashech l'nahira. Not only do we do away with the klipa of Midyan, that it should no longer be efficacious and no longer bring about divisiveness and the quarrels, but instead it should be ishapcha, which means transformation, so that the Midyan and Madin umeriva, the energy which previously seeded divisiveness amongst people, could now be harnessed, channeled, and used to bring about unity and oneness against people. That's the ultimate way of prosecuting this battle.
Elevating the klipa.
Elevating the klipa. Now the question is, really? Elevating a klipa? How is a battle elevating a klipa? How? Well, a battle isn't, but Midyan is. Like it says later on in the Psukim, that it talks about Hashvi, the captives that were taken, v'hamalkoyach v'hasholol. It talks about bounty and booty. So they took in all the plunder. Now when they took in the plunder, what did they do with the plunder? Well, they divided it amongst the Jewish people, and it became part of the residuals of Am Yisrael, including the Kohanim. So, ad shenitan chelik mezel alavim v'lakoyanim, even the Levites and the Kohanim, who are supposed to live an exalted kind of existence to begin with, even they had within their ranks and within their residuals inducted booty, plunder that was taken, and captives that were taken from Midyan. In other words, hainusha tmuda zeh, shezeh yiruchush Midyan, that in the place of this being the residuals, the wealth, the possession of Midyan, which means it's within the camp of quarrelsomeness and divisiveness, that it was connected to, it was under the rubric of, the framework of, the klipa of Midyan. So instead of this, now ne'apach, it becomes transformed, that it should be ruchush Yisrael. Now it should be the residuals of Yisrael, va'ad, and so much so that it's able to be inducted into the ranks of Yisrael, but so much so that it could be the ruchush, the wealth, the residuals of the Levim and the Kohanim, who usually don't have any connection to battle and war, usually not involved in something like this. Okay, as the details of the dividing of the plunder and booty is described in the actual verses of this week's parsha. And here the Rebbe says something interesting. That from the fact that the Torah gives us so many details, begashmias, about the material reality of the booty and plunder, and the exact numbers of captives, and then how it was divided, so muvan and yonim beruchnis, we're able to understand what this means on a spiritual level. V'al derech zeh lahipech, and so too also the other way around. Miteichin ho yonim beruchnis, from understanding what this represents on a spiritual level, nimshichu v'nishtalshlu, it's from the spiritual reality that flows and stems the pratim begashmias. There's a maimer from the Alter Rebbe on Parshas Matos, where he talks about the corollary between the booty and the spiritual reality. And he talks about 7 days of the week, and he talks about the seven midas of unholiness, unwholesomeness, which is called the midas of Toyu. And he goes through a series of different material realities, and he describes the corollary in a spiritual reality. And he says goes both ways. the material, the physical, is a reflection of a higher spiritual truth. And then he says that the higher spiritual truths are necessarily understood through analyzing the physical reality. So there isn't a division between heaven and earth, between the spiritual reality and the material reality. In fact, they're linked to one another. And not only they're linked to one another, but you can understand one from the other. And you can come from the higher vantage point and the way it filters down, or the other way around. There's a beautiful story told that the Rebbe Rashab was once washing to eat, and his brother, Reb Zalman Aaron, came in very excited. And he was waving a medical journal from Paris. And he said, it's unbelievable. They discovered now that there's a memory tool. They said that when you put your head forward, your blood rushes to your front of your brain. And that's where the frontal cortex, that's where the activity takes place, the cognitive activity. So if you want to concentrate, you put your head forward like this. And he says, the scientists have now proven that when you put your head back like this, and your blood rushes to the back, that's how it helps you remember. Because that's where the brain stores information. And that's why people intuitively want to remember to go like this. Look, put their head back. So the Rebbe Rashab doesn't respond, he doesn't react, and Zalman Aaron's like, doesn't this excite you? And he silently gets up from the table, and he goes over to the bookshelf, and he pulls out a slender book of Hasidic manuscript. He opens to a certain page, and he shows Reb Zalman Aaron that the Mittler Rebbe writes exactly the same thing in a Maimon. So Reb Zalman Aaron says, Heistos, de zedis given a grise doctor? So the Mittler Rebbe knew human anatomy and understood the workings of the brain 100 years before everybody else? The Rebbe Shabbat said no. He knew how it was in Ruchnius. He knew how it was on a spiritual level. And since it was that way on a spiritual level, he understood it must be so materially as well. So there is this link and connection between the material reality and the physical reality. And therefore, we have this idea of Midyan representing a very negative klipa, and then the capture of Midyan and the induction of Midyan's residuals into the residuals of the Jewish people being emblematic of the transformation of negativity into positivity, namely not only hachna, not simply crushing, or not simply subduing the klipa of Midyan, but in fact redirecting and turning the klipa of Midyan around. And now on to the business of battle itself. The klolus inyan zeh, this general idea, the bitul v'hafichas klipas Midyan. How do we transform the negative energy of Midyan? How do we do that? And the answer is nasa. It's performed. It happens al yedei ha-toyra, through toyra. She'in yana, that the concept of toyra is, in a word, shalom. Toyra represents peace. Ba'ad, so much so that afilu b'melchamta shel toyra, that even in the proverbial battle of Torah, in which people are arguing and wrestling with one another to understand the pshat in Torah. We have a famous Gemara, Maseches Kiddushin, in the beginning of the 30th page, side B, that it says, Seifam nasa ohavim zeh lazeh. In the end, they become best of friends. So it says over there that you could have a father and son, and they become enemies. They're arguing over Torah. Or a teacher, a pupil, and a teacher, and they're arguing over a Torah idea, and they become enemies. Nasa oivim zelaze. But then he says, in the end, the seif, when the Torah discussion is finished, nasu oihavim. Then they end up not being enemies, but they end up being friends. In other words, Torah study, even when it's an argument over the pshat, the meaning of Torah, in the end, the result will be shalom, because that's the essence of Torah. So this is a play on words. Vesvahiv besufa is actually a reference to what Hashem did in the Yam Suf. It talks about the Arnon Gorge and the miracle that happened there, and then the Jewish people would relate the miracles of yesteryear, and they would always relate the miracle of Kriyas Yam Suf and what happened in the Arnon Gorge. But the Gemara over there has a play on words. It says, Vesvahiv besufa, as if to say, Vahiv, meaning like the Ahavta, besufa, as in besofa, in the end. Now the Rebbe says something very interesting. Here he comments on the Gemara. He says, that's when the study of Torah is not about with personal agendas. That's when it's a study Torah, shekol kavanasi, that a natzchonus means the whole purpose of the argument of Torah, shehu yinatzeach, he has to win. He has to win the argument. So if it's about you, you need to win the argument. V'dayte tekabel, your opinion should be accepted. That's not going to work. That's not going to make you friends at the end. We speak here about somebody who studies Torah for the sake of Torah, looking for the truth. Well, when it's a pursuit of the truth, azai gam kashias matzah shol machante shol teira, even when there is a vehement battle, a pitched battle, so to speak, an argument, he save him in the end, shenasa oyevim zelozeh. They'll become lovers. They'll become best of friends. The zehu inyan limud teira lishma. This is the meaning of learning teira lishma. As explained in my Maamar of Friedrich Rebbe, the kasha leima teira leilishem atzchanus. When a person learns Torah not in order to be victorious, in order to prevail. That the main thing of learning a Torah is that his word should be accepted, my opinion should be dominant. The study of Torah is for the sake of Torah, l'shem ha-Torah. Then the Torah will be in a manner of love. Like we say, that even the opinions in Torah, which are at odds with each other, halalo esim, halalo matirim, in the language of our sages, these said kosher, permissible, these said not kosher, it's off limits. Nonetheless, we still have the Gemara in Erevin that tells us that both are the words of the living God. If they're both the words of the living God, then if so, then in the end, it'll always be in a way of peace. Even if they're in disagreement, even if they have a different approach, but the different approach doesn't make them enemies, it brings them together because they have a common pursuit of the truth, which is greater than the distinction or difference of opinions. So too, and even more so, halacha shebetera, when there's actually the concept of halacha, so the halacha is b'teich bitl dafke. Coming to a halacha is not an expression of arrogance and ego, but rather in a way of humility. So that's why we learn Gabi David, Vahavaya imay, halacha kamoisei. God is with him. The halacha was like him. The lake is shol, not like shol. The shol halacha acharatam. Shol followed rhyme, reason, rationale. Mashenkin David, Ibevin shol, anova ubitl. But David excelled not in self expression, but rather in humility. In the self abnegation, that's what the halacha is like. That even a halacha, which is the prevailing of opinions, one opinion actually rises prominent, and this is the halacha, and the other opinions are necessarily negated. Even that's in a way of shalom. Because when the halacha is finally ruled, it's not in an arrogant way of, I got the answer. The halacha is my way, but rather the one that whom the halacha will be like will be punctuated with humility. So it won't be about my halacha or I was right, but rather the halacha, what is right objectively. This will, as an opening point at least, helps us understand why the battle against Midian is linked to Moshe. If one had to speak of Moshe Rabbeinu and say, what is the single word or theme that encapsulates the essence of Moshe? Is it redeemer? Is it prophet? Is it statesman? Is it warrior? If there's a single endeavor of Moshe Rabbeinu, what would it be? What's synonymous with Moshe? Torah. Torah. Rabbeinu, our teacher of Torah. So the Inyan Shel Moshe is Torah. Like the famous statement that's made at the end of the book of Malachi, where the last of the prophets says, Zichru Torah's Moshe Avdi. He says, we didn't come to tell you anything new. All I came to remind you is keep the Torah of Moshe. So it's called Torah's Moshe. The Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu are synonymous. Shah Torah nikras al shmoi, that the whole Torah bears the name of Moshe. Torah's Moshe. Now yudei inyan ha-Torah, that the idea of Torah, that is mevatel, that does away with this bitl of klipas Midian. So the question was, why is Moshe connected to the battle of Midian? And the answer is, from a Hasidic perspective, because Moshe represents Torah. Torah represents
peace.
Shalom. Midian represents the opposite of peace, divisiveness and quarreling. So if you're going to, who is, by virtue of whose strength, will be able to subdue and in fact redirect or rechannel the klipa of Midian? The answer is necessarily through Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why Moshe had to prosecute the battle even in a physical and material sense. Because Torah, my friends, brings shalom. And unfortunately we're out of time because it's Chodesh today. So good Shabbos to all of our listeners. Chodesh Tov. And let us live with the spirit of Moshe, the spirit of peace, and with Ahavas Chinam, with unwarranted and free love, hopefully, speedily, and in our days, this week, we'll find ourselves welcoming Mashiach, and see not days of sadness, but instead, Yehavchu Yom Meil, the transformation of these days into time of great joy and happiness in the third base of Migdash, from Heira, Uvi Yameinu. Amen.
Amen.